preface by saying that this story I thought was a little more impressive until I just emailed and actually realized it was a glitch. But I'll talk about my Super Bowl story. I have a lot of admiration for each of you if you watched the game, for those of you that did watch the game and are here now. And, you know, if you were here earlier in the day, I'll have even more admiration for you. But, you know, I guess being here now at 1:30, can't take these things for granted. So I woke up at 4 in the morning to observe the ball game. I was going to start from the beginning. One can say, why didn't I just start from the game live? But what's the difference? I was going to finish anyway around the same time the game would end. So I figured, why not start from the beginning? Okay, I started. I noticed I watched last year. I never had an issue. For 20 weeks this year, I've never had an issue. I'm watching at the beginning. I'm seeing like weird things going on with my Game Pass. But like, hey, whatever, maybe it's my internet. I have no idea. I'm not thinking much of it. Okay, I'm watching the ball game. And we get to, and I see the hill pass, okay. Then I see the Chiefs touchdown. I see the Niners have the ball 20-17. I got to like third down or whatever, like 5 minutes left in the game. My thing stops. Like, what's going on here? Why did my thing just stop? I couldn't figure it out. I was like a little annoyed. Okay, you know, it's right 4:50 or so. And I have my phone on airplane mode, so I have no idea what's going on. And, you know, Game Pass is really good. It's not like one of these, like, cheap things that, like, you go on there, but, like, they have a million links, so, like, you actually know what's going on. Like, you really, like, it's, you know, as if, you know, it's as if I was in B'nai B'rak and had no exposure to sports. You know, it didn't let me know anything. I'm refreshing everything. I'm, like, really annoyed. Okay? I go. I'm like, what am I going to do? It's 5 o'clock. Go to a different browser. It's not working. I say at that point, okay, you know, what am I going to do? You know, we have to sometimes remember, as we talked about last week, we're B'nai Torah. We got to get to shul. I got to go learn. I got to go daven. Okay, it is what it is. I look at my phone. I see the Chiefs just got the ball back, and then the next thing, the touchdown. Game's over. So, I had to email Game Pass because now I'm hoping I'll get a discount on next year's subscription. I'm not usually that guy, but you know, 4 minutes left in the Super Bowl is just ridiculous. It's like certain thing, like that, like other glitching thing, which was like annoying. I'm not going to complain about it, but 4 minutes left in the Super Bowl, you know, you got even John doesn't follow football can realize, you know, you're watching the Super Bowl at 4:50 in the morning and it just stops. You know, that's annoying, and you have every right to your refund or to get something. So I'm thinking this morning, what's pshat? Why did it happen? And I came up with a terrorist. I came up with a possible answer. We think that we can do whatever we want. We think our time, like, it doesn't matter. If I want to do this, I want to do that, it doesn't really make a difference. But we forget that we're all avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's our master, and we have a commitment to him. And if every single day at 4:45, 4:48, you know, whatever it is, that's the time I enter the base medrash, who do I think I am to tell God, no, God, you know, on a normal day, sure, tomorrow, you know, Monday, you know, Stam day in March, of course, but God, the Super Bowl, you know, they're trying to make a holiday of that. They want there to be no work today in America, you know, Shem Yerachim. They want to make a national holiday out of the Super Bowl. Who am I to say that I'm allowed to be like, yeah, I could come 20 minutes late. I could watch the end of the football game. Why am I to decide that? My only spar for why I wanted to do it was I was afraid to go to shul. I might find out the game. Happened to be I didn't hear a peep about anyone speaking at the game. I think maybe when Rav Natanael's not around, there's not as much sports talk in Minyan. I don't know. But I didn't hear a peep about the games. I could have just watched it after. Probably Game Pass had fixed decisions by then. And I would have been able to watch the game. But why can I say that I can show up 20 minutes later? So God's telling me at 4:48, 4:50. No. You lost your time. You're not getting that back. You lost. You fumbled. I'm not such a tzaddik. You know, there's a story about the Gra. He used to like cry on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He was mevatel 10 minutes. You know, thinking that whatever level you're on, you're thinking 10 minutes. You know, if I could say, like, if I could go into Rosh Hashanah and be like, every hour of the year I only was mevatel 10 minutes, you'd be like, my God, I had a good year. Like, you know, that'd be such a relief off our shoulders. 10 minutes a whole year. I know that is like, imagine that only 10 minutes the entire year that you could account for, I wasted my time. 10 minutes a year. 10 minutes and 10 minutes is, you know, where most of us are holding. So I'm not such a sad. I battle a lot, so I'm not going to look at it like that. So God's telling me, yeah, no, you lost it. You don't get that time back. You know, you're going to go through Az Yashir or Shnai and Mikra, and you're going to do it terribly. You're going to try to rush it because you want to get to the Shir. You lost. You messed up. But I'm not giving you the opportunity to watch the game. You blew it. So I thought that was a better spar. And my internet was working. I thought it was a better spar. You know, it's harder to say that when, like, everyone's complaining that they had an issue with Game Pass, so I don't know if my mazel extended to the whole Game Pass. But it's true. We really do have to understand our time. We can't just decide that, oh, I can do whatever I want because my time doesn't matter. We only have a certain amount of time in this world, and God, and And we owe it to God. We have an achrayus to God. It doesn't mean that every minute has to be accounted for doing something, you know, that's helping us grow, though that'd be great. But it means that we really do need to account. And if we have a general schedule, you know, if we're going to be Noah and we're going to go to bed at 5 in the morning and wake up at 7 and, you know, go to chakras, go to morning theater, come to schmooze, okay, fine. You know, what am I going to say? You know, he's basically maybe has to do it like once a month, stay up till 5 in the morning because he obviously can do it. But, you know, what am I going to say? We're all holding at that point. But I can just decide. Like, I think, like, Mark Merrill is smart enough to, like, decide that I'm allowed to give up that time. Who am I to decide then? I should remember from last year that the Super Bowl actually always ends late because halftime is like an hour or whatever. Ugh, this, what a waste of time. But, okay. So that was the Super Bowl part. That wasn't what I was planning on talking about. And I really wasn't going to mention the Super Bowl at all until this morning when that happened. I had to share that because, you know, when stuff like this happens, you know, we need to share it. So then the topic was Kedusha and marriage. I don't know what Mordechai spoke about Friday night. I apologize if I repeat everything he said, although I'm sure he yelled more and said it with more fire and more passion and better. But we are holding a Shovim. Shovim is the acronym for Shmos, the Erev Bov Shach, Yisrael Mishpatim. And the main avoda during Shovim is to work on Shmir Tanayim, what we look at, protecting our Bris Milah area. And, it's very important stuff. And when you're going to get married, so you could think right now as a 19, 20 year old, however you are, like, it doesn't really affect me. It doesn't really affect me. But it really does. Everything you're doing today, anything that one does that's inappropriate, it really does affect them, and it's going to affect their marriage. Now, I heard a guy who's a mashkiach in a yeshiva. He told me recently, it was very inspiring, and probably very obvious, but nevertheless, a good point. This guy from a very elite yeshiva comes over to him, like, crying, like, I have a major problem. Okay, you know, this guy here deals with, like, really major problems all day. He's like, you know, what's your major problem? He's like, you know, I look at porn. He's like, oh, welcome to the club. Everyone does it. Not a major problem. You're in good company. And let's start schmoozing. Let's start working out. And so I think it's very important to realize no one's alone. You know, I also grew up with, like, cell phones not being able to do much, so it wasn't so tempting for me on Shabbos to take out your cell phone. But, you know, I don't know what I would do if I grew up and, like, I could watch, you know, anything on the cell phone. You know, playing Snake, Snake's a fun game. It was a fun game, but it wasn't, if we care enough, we care a little bit about God, you know, it's hard to sacrifice that. But, you know, what these things can do now, what are you going to do? But it's very, very important to realize that, when it comes to Shmir Sinai, when it comes to stuff like this, everyone's dealing with it. It's not, almost nobody's immune to it. You know, you're walking in the street and, you know, you go to, like, I never worked in Manhattan, in the city. I actually worked in Manhattan, never worked in the city, like Midtown. So I would go meet people there sometimes, I have meetings there sometimes, and you get off the train, you're walking, and it's mamish insane. And maybe it's not so, I think it's no matter what, it's insane, but, you know, when you're not in that every day, like, you're just, besides the fact, forgetting, like, what people are wearing, you're just seeing 25,000 people in, like, 3 minutes, you know, all across everywhere in these streets. It's just insane. And, you know, no one's dressed appropriately. And it's a big issue. And even going more that, okay, fine, us in this room could say, you know, it's an Shmir Tanayim and other stuff, and looking at stuff that are worse than Shmir Tanayim, you know, than just looking at a woman in the street and getting to even, you know, looking at porn and whatever, you know, it's very, very bad. But this really extends very far. And I was in Smicha. This guy, Dr. Pelkovitz, or the world-renowned psychologist in Great Neck, comes in. He's telling us that he deals with big, big rabbanim, big rabbis. It could be, who knows? It could be like rabbis that we can know that are dealing with these issues on a very, very major level. So when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's very comforting. Like, there's a Tosfos in yesterday's daf. Not related to this at all, but about Rabbeinu Tam, that he was davening Shemona Esrei, and he realized in Elokai Netzor, he forgot to say Al Nisim. Like, you know, that's inspiring to me, because I forget Al Nisim, I forget Yal V'yav, but I'm like, oh, like all the great rabbis, they don't forget. I'm like, no, Rabbeinu Tam forgot it. This great rabbi, you know, he has issues that, like, his marriage is on the ropes because of that. So then obviously that's not a place that any of us want to get to. I hope that's not a place any of us want to get to. But it's important to know that, you know, you're not alone. Like, sometimes, like, the hardest thing is, like, you just feel, I'm the only person going through this, you know, going through this struggle. Like, you know, you can have, like, Rahman al-Islam, a person's got a 1 in a billion, you know, type of cancer, you know, type of disease. So you really feel, as parents, like, your child's going through that, you're alone. No one else is going through that. You know, people could go through other issues, but no one's going through that. But here, it's not really that. Everyone's going through it. And it starts at this age. And the reason why it really affects your marriage is, well, number one, anytime you do anything to affect your guf, to affect your neshama, it's ultimately affecting your marriage. Even though you're not married yet, it's gonna affect your marriage. But the worst thing that happens, you know, with the, you know, what are you gonna do? You know, actually, I don't even know how I came to this, but there was like a thing on Netflix, whatever, about someone was telling me about it. It's actually very fascinating. There's like a thing about like how people become porn stars. Someone's telling me all about it. Like, it's really the saddest thing in the world because these people come from literally no money. They have literally no education. And the only thing, you know, it's sort of like a professional athlete, but maybe even worse, they're like, he can only do one thing. So they're using their only skills in their world, because otherwise, you know, they're going to be on the street and not be able to have, you know, shelter. So it is very, very sad. But what happens is when people watch this, you know, there's obviously, there's a difference between Jewish women and non-Jewish women. But, you know, you go around to like a non, like, let's say you're hanging out with like 20 non-Jewish women. The average height's not going to be 5'1". And the average weight's not going to be like 97 pounds. But yet somehow you go to like, there's like a Stern dorm where like there's 20 girls hanging out talking about, you know, who so-and-so went on a date with last night. And they're all like, you know, they're like all pounding food. Yet somehow they're all like, you know, like an average of like 5'2 and like 101 pounds. So Jewish women and non-Jewish women are built a little differently, you know, for better or for worse. But it doesn't mean all, but generally speaking. And what happens is that, you know, you now have these expectations come from what you want of your wife based off what you see in the adult industry, which is, first off, disgraceful to Bas Yisrael, and second off, it's bad for you because you now have these expectations of what you want in a marriage or what you expect in an intimate part of a relationship, or hopefully only a marriage, because, you know, we don't touch before we get married. You know that? That's a thing. Maybe that was also talked about on Friday night. But it's very, very important. It's very, very important to keep that in mind, and it's something that will really, really affect someone. You know, there was I don't know if I'm going to share. Say, I don't know if I'm going to actually send this out. Even though I recorded. There was this thing in a few years ago, probably more than a few years ago now, called the Sting Operation, I think, yeah. Or Catch a John. You know what it is?
It's Catch a Predator.
So I don't know. It was basically. It was basically all these undercover cops. I guess the reason why they do it is because it's actually very dangerous, you know, from raping and what have you. It's very dangerous, so that's why they have to do it. Like, I would think, like, if I was like the cops, like, you know, I'd probably want to focus more time on like terrorism or stuff like that. But, you know, I guess it is really important. We do want to protect people from, you know, getting assaulted. And there was like 100 people who got caught in like a span of like a month, like a major operation. I happened to know one of them, and he remained married. You know, I can't. Everyone could ask different questions, can ask how, why, etc. Because, you know, it was clear what was about to happen. It was clear what was going on here, and you think about it, like, you're looking at this guy, like, you see him in shul, like, he's wearing his black hat, and he's like a yeshivish guy, and you're like wondering, even if he's not yeshivish,
is it an example?
No, this is real. But even if he's not yeshivish, it doesn't really make a difference. And this all happens because you have all this harnessed energy in you about the, you know, expectations of women. So now you're married. You're married to just parenthetically, he actually lives on my block, so his wife banged into my car, like a very minor bang. I didn't even know her. Like, I pretended to like go crazy when she got out of the car, but I was just joking, like, I didn't really care, and my car was old, like literally like a love tap. But, okay, not really so relevant, but just thought of that now. And, like, what happens? So you get married, you have three kids. You know, what happens ultimately is, like, my sister would always say, oh, people are like, oh, I can't marry the girl. Because, like, you know, instead of being 105 pounds, she's 108 pounds. It's like, you know what happens when you have children? You know, you're not 105 pounds, you have children. You know, you put on a little weight when you have children. Like, that's what happens. So, you know, that's what happens. And you have all these expectations because somehow because we have these fantasies and we depict these things in our mind, which is really, really bad, and then you have no expectation, then you do something really, really bad. So at the very least, you're killing your neshama, especially when you're doing it now or when you're married. But it can be so much worse. It can be so much worse. And your wife is like, you know, what's she supposed to do? And to a degree, you know, it's sort of you know, in a way, the From world, you know, we sort of, you know, people make this as a joke. It's not so much anymore because, as you'll see in The Right Time When You Get Married, if you just want your wife to have babies and be at home, you know, you're probably gonna starve because you can't really live on one salary anymore. But, you know, be it as it may, like, you know, we depict women as bad. So then, you know, all of a sudden that's not so exciting anymore. And, you know, you're at home, you're having babies and whatever, you're getting bigger. And, you know, all of a sudden, and that's not what a person wants because, no, I wanted you when you were 105 pounds. And it leads to all sorts of terrible things. And it's really, really bad. And it's why it's so important. It's why, I mean, I think they should talk about this stuff much more in yeshiva. I don't know if one chauvin speech is enough. But it's so important to have this, like, constantly instilled in our minds because these are the kind of things that if you take it, a guy was just telling me that, you know, it's gone 6 months since he's looked at anything, has filters on his computer, like, he's so proud of himself, he's gone 6 months. That's amazing. And you start, and then you go a year, 2 years, 3 years, then all of a sudden it's no longer a thing. And the way you look at women are also different, which is, you know, in and of itself, just going to be much better. The other thing that happens, you know, when our minds are just, you know, focused on Tumah, we can't really do anything else. You know, we get very, very distracted. Now, it could be anything, but it's really like any lows, I'd say, that we're like just, you know, ingrained upon. You know, imagine for a second, how can anyone do it? You'll get such a beautiful face like that. But imagine for a second, I just spend the next 5 years just thinking, how can I kill Matt? Like, thinking, how can I kill him? Like, what would be the way that we could have, you know, actually, like, these, like, Criminal Minds kind of show, like, these crazy people who, you know, all they think of is how to kill people and chopping off fingers and cooking fingers and, like, you know, chulling for the whole community. Like, how much revolting. But imagine I'm only doing that. How can I do anything with my life? My whole focus is, how am I going to kill Matt? How am I going to kill Matt? And, you know, once you do that, you know, you're done. So, you know, you start having other things. It takes up all your time. It takes up all your time. And at the end, you know, for 3 seconds of pleasure and you end up regretting it anyway, you know, it's not worth it. It's really not worth it. And it'll affect your Torah. You know, a lot of people wonder, you know, we have to, when people say they're not into learning, well, there's two things one has to do. One has to really be honest with themselves. I really try because, you know, I can say I'm not really so into basketball. You know, if I decide I'm going to be Noah or Rafi and I'm going to spend, like, hours amongst hours playing basketball, I'm going to, like, tell Rav Khan, like, you know, from now on during break, you don't have to meet with guys anymore. I'm your training guy. I'm your Kira project. And you come in and you're going to give me basketball lessons. So maybe at that point I'm going to be into basketball. That's so distracting.
Recording?
Yeah, maybe at the schmooze. Maybe at that point I'm gonna be into basketball. But right now, and I haven't played basketball in 12 years. How can I say I'm into basketball? So the same thing with Torah. We can't really say we're into it unless we try. But the Iker reason in general for why we can't be into things is because we have other stuff that are taking up so much space in our mind. And I started, and we're gonna talk more about this next week's project is Yisro. About just Kabbalah to Torah, like really receiving Torah. But one of the reasons why it's so hard to retain Torah is because we have so much nonsense and garbage in our brain. You know, our brain can only absorb so much. So let's even just say from, like, a mutter perspective, you know, how many, like, TV shows I could just, like, say cold, and how many like football games and baseball games I could just, like, literally do play by play for what happened in the game. I remember my son was born the year the Mets made the World Series. So, like, in October, so I was, like, singing his song to him, where I basically, like, a 20-minute niggin going through, like, the whole Mets season for him, the ups and downs, when things happen. Like, you know, I could tell that vividly. So when you have all that in your mind, when you're putting all that focus into your brain, you can't take in anything else. You know, of course I can't take in Torah. And when you're thinking about women, when you're thinking about, you know, what's going on in Tiferet and who are they, and even not even negating, like, Yisurim, negating looking at porn, negating masturbation, but just thinking about women, thinking about, like, you know, I wonder, like, in Tiferet, I wonder, like, Midrash and Moriah, are they talking about me? Like, who, what Machom Hayam girl is talking about me? What's going on with her? What's going on in Bronzers? Like, you know, you start to, all your mind goes to all these, you know, Halavai, you know, Lev guy should be like, you know, what a Michalan MMY girl think about me? You know, it's Hashem, we'll get to that point. But, you know, right now we're not holding there. We're, like, thinking about, like, what's going on in the Bar Ilan Israel Experience Project. You know, whatever's going on there, right? Clapper's doing great things. But, you know, that's where our mind is. You know, we're only thinking about that. It totally takes us away from everything we want to do. We can't do anything, and it's a real shame. It's a real shame. So, you know, we have to all really work very hard. It's everybody. It's important. It's very important to realize that. I think people, like, in general, in any struggle one has, they really think they're alone. So, to know that you're not, to know that people who are, I'm going to call much greater, whatever you want to say, but people who are in higher positions are going through equal struggles, and to realize that right now, you know, you're building your house, and everything that you're doing, this, you know, I really do believe in. And one of the greatnesses of, you know, being able to say I work at a Shanav Yeshiva as opposed to being an actuary is not the fact that I'm able to say I have less money in my bank account. That's not one of the greatnesses. But what the greatness is, if I'm an actuary, I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer, I'm not seeing somebody building their home. I'm seeing between before my very eyes, you know, but I'm not close to every guy in Yeshiva, 25, 30 guys I have what to do with. You're literally seeing them build their bias. You're literally seeing them build their home, like, through the growth they're doing. Now, unless you're really, really close or a person is really, really open, I'm not so, you know, some people are better at getting people to open up. I'm not so great at that. But unless but sometimes you have people who just tell you their whole life story when, like, all you're trying to do is drink hot cocoa. So, you know, unless someone's telling me that, I don't know super fit. I don't know on the inside what's going on. Like, a guy could look like he's the best guy here, and, like, you know, he's not doing anything. My cousin was in Beis Yisrael, like the Haredi Yeshiva in Be'er Yaakov, and he told me he was there, the guy who literally learned 21 hours a day, the best guy in Yeshiva. My cousin tells me, many, many years later, my cousin's a very modern guy, he's walking in, like, Manhattan, in Upper West Side in Shabbos, he sees this guy, Shabbos, headphones, tattoo, earring, looks at the guy, he's like, Yankel? Whatever his name is. Like, yeah. Beis Yisrael? Like, this guy had, like, totally gone off the derech. So even though you could be that person, it doesn't mean that, like, you know, it's a slam dunk, but at least from, like, what I'm seeing, like, just seeing how homes are being built, like, future family, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we'll have to, you know, hopefully Matt's going to realize that Albany's just not the place. But whether it's going to be for him, because, you know, Matt has a strong identity. But, you know, what about your kid? What about your grandkids, your great grandkids? You know, what could happen to them if you don't have that strong foundation? Okay, you're not going to intermarry. But what if it happens in 2-3 generations down? You know, our biggest, my grandmother always say, like, that's not a, I don't even know how this happened. My family's like a shickle bit of racist, and you know, we're very conservative. So I don't even know how this happened. We have, like, a black cousin who's, like, distantly removed, like, came to our house, like, one night. I have, like, no idea why she was there. My grandma was there. I don't even know why she was there. I don't remember any of the circumstances. I don't even know when it was except for that. And my grandmother, like, oh, what's the schmarts and chicks are doing in the house? Like, you know, like, you know, and, like, my grandmother, like, would say, like, the worst thing you could do is, like, breaking the Masorah, breaking the intermarriage and assimilating is the worst thing we could do. We have an achrayus to remain committed, to remain loyal to our, to our people. So we're seeing it. And, you know, one step of building the bias is that it's gotta be from Tahora, and also understanding that, you know, and just another thing to also realize that, you know, we're Jewish women, again, they are different. Like, we're marrying a different type, like, and to expect that of a Bas Yisrael, that they're not going to be what's on television. Just to conclude, I remember my last chassan class. So when you get married, you have to have chassan class. You don't have to, but most people have chassan classes. Okay, you do mostly, you go over Hilchos Nida, do a little, like, hashkafa with marriage. And the last chassan class is, like, a demonstration of, like, how to have relations and how to do it. And he was telling me, the guy went to high school, a little awkward, but he was, like, telling me that, you know, feel things, like, very easy. Like, in the movies, they make it all seem like it's very easy. And like, but in real life, it doesn't exactly work like that. But if we depict that our wife, and if we depict what a Jewish girl is supposed to be based off the movies, that's going to be very, very bad. And that's going to be, nothing else to say, it's going to be very, very bad. But if we do things, if we bring things into Kedusha, and we bring things into, you know, a level of holiness, you know, it changes everything. That may be, like, the pshat of why we have all the gedarim. Why, you know, as Rav Jake Shear is learning, Usher Subbing is learning yichud. Why we have yichud? Why we have shomer negiah? Why women go to the mikvah? The whole idea of just, you know, if everything's a free for all and everything's hefkeris, there's no level of kedusha. There's no level of appreciation. But once you're able to, you know, do things in a kadosh way, you know, you're really able to see things from a different angle. Be'ezus Hashem, as we're, you know, week 4 of Shovavim, 3 more, you know, this week and 2 more weeks after, to really between ourselves and you know, with your managers or BAME, whoever it might be, and definitely to have filters on phones and computers, you know, whether you need it or you don't need it, but you know, always you know, sometimes you have to deal with the consequence. It means you can't check ESPN for whatever reason. ESPN is blocked down. You know, it's better than the alternative. Sometimes we just have to deal with not being able to check ESPN. Not the worst thing in the world, you know. Other ways to find out that the Giants hired Judge. You know, you don't need to. We don't need, and no one even knew who the guy was. Other ways to do it. But we should all really work on it this time, and to really realize it's not just about now. It's not just about, you know, trying to be better. It's about that everything I want to do, all the distractions in my life, and all the tum on my life, it's going to affect me now. It's going to affect me even more in the long run.